Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Microsoft MVP, Regional Director, and Principal Owner of Homnic Systems, Joe Homnic, joins us for today's show as we talk about Windows Azure's Infrastructure as a Service features. Tune in for part one of this series as we cover Windows Azure virtual machines, licensing and pricing, what VHD deploy options are available, as well as a quick demo of how to get started using the Image Gallery. Blaine, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to IT Time, TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, a senior IT pro evangelist with Microsoft here in my Tampa studio. And with me, I have a friend, colleague, and most important, I think one of the best trainers around. That's Mr. Joe Homnic. How you doing today, Joe?
Fantastic. Great to be here with you, Blaine.
Hey, great to have you on the show. You're a Microsoft Regional Director for our MVP program. You're also the principal owner of Homnic Systems, a Microsoft Gold Certified partner located in Boca. For those of you that want more information on Homnic Systems, you can go to http://homnic.com. So, and really, you guys have been around for a while, you know, since 1993, you know, established Microsoft Certified partner, one of the most, I think, established partners in the world, don't you think?
Yeah, been around, and we're celebrating our 20th year, and we're actually going to be having a party in December. Everybody's invited, December 7th. I know Blaine's going to be there.
I'm going to be there. Thanks for the invite.
Down in Boca Raton.
Yeah, I've already booked my travel. So
if you're coming out from Redmond, it's a good time of the year to be here.
Yeah, I look forward to the Gold Coast user group and the training we're going to do that day, and then more importantly, the get-together afterwards. That's always a good time. I guess I'm a veteran, too, and we also have a little bit of Star Trek going on there. Favorite Star Trek characters.
We always have a theme, and sometimes it's reggae. Last year it was Star Trek, and it went over so well. We're doubling up, and we're going to go down and have another Star Trek type of theme. We'll have to replace some of the outfits, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, and I noticed last year you gave me the outfit that was red, and usually the guys that are from Star Trek that wear the red shirts usually die off and get killed. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Well, I think that's the engineer, Scotty. So you're the engineer.
That's right. Yeah, we ran out of ears last year, too, so we've got to make sure we have the pointy ears. Now's the time to get them before that time comes.
Sold out. So we just had right ears because it was after Halloween. We'll make sure to get the order in before Halloween and get right and left ears for the spots. Well, that's the blue uniform.
Well, that's awesome, and I look forward to those meetings coming up in December. So HSI, you know, you guys, Homnic Systems, the incorporation of the Gold Certified Partner Program, you guys have services in a lot of different areas, you know, system development and implementation through, you know, your practices around software consulting, development, training, mentoring. You hold a lot of certifications, hold a lot of competencies in business intelligence, software development, you know, application lifecycle management, and portal and collaboration stuff with SharePoint. So you know, you've done a lot of speaking engagements around the world, Microsoft Tech Eds, you've been like out of five continents, you've been at, you know, four of those continents. You've been to Build, you've been to Microsoft Dev Days, you've been to SQL Pass Summit. You know, you're a heavy hitter in the industry.
So, yeah, I had a really good time traveling around. Getting to that fifth continent, though, Antarctica has proven to be somewhat troublesome. Not a whole lot of events going down there, so that one I might have to go on my own. But, yeah, we're 20 years in the business now, and adding on a couple of additional certifications with Microsoft. One is the Azure Circle Partner, and also related to System Center, we're doing the private cloud virtualization and management partner competency. So looking forward to, over the next couple of years, those really being big parts of our business.
Yeah, well, excellent. You know, you've been working a lot with Windows Azure, which really is our topic today. This is part one of two, working with Windows Azure, VM role, and durable VMs. And then we'll get into part two, which will be around Azure network, the networking components of Windows Azure. So with that, what I'd like to do is, you know, always start out my IT Time radio spots with getting to know my guests. And I always ask them this question. So before we get started with the Windows Azure and that whole series of great content, what was your first computer experience, Joe?
So my first computer experience was way back when. Well, let me say I'm going to go microcomputer experience. We don't want to go back too far because I've been around quite a while. An Apple III back in the early 80s. And, I think that lasted about a year. And basically it was just a glorified Apple II that then led into the Lisa and then their actual Mac products. So goes way, way back before that. Mainframe kind of stuff with KPMG. You don't even want to hear about that stuff.
Yeah, and it looks like you were also, you know, some of your previous experience, and maybe this is what kind of moved you into IT and the development side of things, is your professional experience, including being kind of an adjunct professor at Florida Atlantic University and a computer audit specialist, like you said, KPMG, right?
Yep. Yeah, so that's going pretty far back. Been in the actually industry, if you want to count it all the way back to the late 70s. So got quite a bit of experience and just love the change. And talk about change. We are getting some stuff this year from Microsoft. I mean, the amount of products and the things that are coming around Azure and the releases of Azure, this whole June 7th, I guess they call it the spring release of Azure that we're going to be talking about today, is pretty exciting.
Well, that's exciting as well to bring you on the show and really dig in and talk about Windows Azure. So let's get started. You've got some slides you want to show. You have some demos you want to show. Let's get right into it.
Okay, we're going to be talking about Windows Azure VM. And this is a new feature that was part of the spring release announced back on June 7th and created a infrastructure as a service offering from Windows Azure, something that we really didn't have before. We had platforms as a service and the actual software as a service, but we now have infrastructure as a service. And it's really all about the application. So if you want to be able to deploy SQL Server, Active Directory, something that you would have real issues in the previous version, SharePoint Server 2010, soon to be 2013 also, you can deploy those into VMs, VHD virtual hard drives, with the following versions. SQL Server 2008, 2008 R2, and of course, released just this year, SQL Server 2012. The server editions, SQL Server 2008 R2 and 2012, all released. And of course, you can integrate SharePoint 2010. And one of the big things with SharePoint 2010 was the integration into SQL Server and Active Directory, which was problematic. Basically not even suggested in the previous releases of Azure. So the whole idea is being able to take your virtual machines, your VHDs that you now have running in Hyper-V on maybe your private cloud, because really now we're just talking about private clouds and public clouds. Well, Azure's that public cloud. Take that exact same type of an environment and be able to put it up onto the public cloud so you can scale, you can extend your infrastructure across not only what you have internally but also what is out in Azure, and you can deploy all of these types of scenarios, things that you really couldn't do in the past in the public cloud sector. So cool thing about this, you deploy a VHD out there. Well, you're paying for that VHD or virtual machine to be living out in the cloud. As part of that, you get a per hour license in the cloud. Now, you take your operating system, put it out into the cloud, an Azure VM, but you might have things like SQL Server, SharePoint, third party, who knows what application. All of those can go into this infrastructure as a service. However, beyond the server license, you need to then bring in your own. So you're going to bring your own individual licensing for any of the applications that you deploy inside of that server, whether it's going to be specific applications, third parties, additional Microsoft types of products. And what are you paying? Well, here's a little chart. You can see a link there if you want to follow it. And we're actually in the preview stage. And pretty soon, the GA means general availability, but pretty soon we're going to be in the general availability stage, and those are going to be the pricing. So basically what you do when you define your individual virtual machine, you define how many cores and how much memory is going to be allocated to that virtual machine. And as you can see there, as you go along, you have a Windows price per hour, non-Windows price per hour. Huh, what is that? I thought we were just talking about Active Directory, SharePoint, SQL Server. Well, stick around. We're going to look at some non-Windows options that you also have. So there's the pricing. You can look at it, figure out how much that you want to spend. This is as long as you have your VM running. And these are now durable VMs. So with these durable VMs, you can save the data that you are working with, take them down, or actually shut them down. Not just shutting them down and turn them off like you would an individual VM, but actually taking them out of the VM instance, and you aren't charged anymore. Bring them back up. You have persistence, you have durability of your individual data. And you can even do this through PowerShell types of scenarios that maintain all the different settings. Maybe you have multiple hard disks that you have attached to it, persisting the individual data. So this is as you are running an instance of your VMs. So figure out how much you're going to be, how much uptime that you're going to have throughout the individual month, and then multiply it for that by that amount to come up with what you're going to be doing. This really is a great option. Let's say if you bring in a new developer or tester into your environment and you need to spin up in the machine form to work on, excellent scenario. We're personally using it for virtual classrooms. We're taking our VMs that hold all of our courseware and uploading them into these Azure VMs. And all you need to have on the client is a remote desktop protocol, remote desktop connection to get into them and start using them. So the ability and flexibility of creating an infrastructure, and for us, basically infrastructures on the fly, exists now with this Windows Azure VM and infrastructure as a service. So let's get into it. That's some kind of the details around it. What kind of VHD deploy options do we have? I get the idea. Instead of using Hyper-V or even VMware, I'm going to be able to have a virtual hard drive, a VHD, sitting out in Azure storage, and be able to launch that up and remote desktop into it. Well, you have several different deploy options. One is Image Gallery. Image Gallery, you get a whole bunch of images to start from. You also have My VHDs, and they really come in two different scenarios. You could have My Images, which are really a templated type of your own image gallery. And you have disks, so the individual disks could be turned into an image as a templated gallery item, or you could be working with them directly. And as we move along, we'll see how these different types of deploy options work. So let's look at the gallery first. What can we get from the gallery? So here it is, Windows Server 2008 R2, SQL Server 2012 eval. Why eval? Well, remember back a couple of slides, right? You get licensing for Windows Server just by paying the instance costs that you are incurring. However, SQL Server is one of those add-on products. So they basically give you the eval edition. You can then upgrade it later to meet your licensing requirements. Windows Server 2012, it's out of the gates now, generally available. Well, I don't know about generally available, but released. So it's out there. Now, remember I said there was some non-Windows pricing? So if you look over on the right, you have, I don't know what these things called SUSE are, but it's some kind of Linux types of things. But you aren't limited to just using the Microsoft products. You can also use Linux VMs. So if you have existing types of infrastructures built upon them, you can build these directly into it and use each one of the deploy options. Well, we're looking at that first deploy option, images from the gallery. So with these images, we're going to be working with these specific items, but as you're going to see, the world is your oyster. You have unlimited types of options as far as what type of infrastructure that you will be putting up into Azure. So let's take a look first at these gallery images. Okay, so I've gone into my remote desktop here for this demo so we can share it all on out. And what I'm going to do is at the very first go to manage.windowsazure.com. And this is the new portal, part of that June 7th release. I'll be going in with my live ID. So we have all of these different types that are in here. And as a matter of fact, they just came out with some new things. Mobile services. Another one, media services. Kind of interesting things related to the Azure offerings. But we're going to be really talking about here virtual machines, which also take into account the individual storage. So if I jump to storage first, you'll see that I've got several different storage accounts across multiple subscriptions. Let me go back to my virtual machines, and you can see that I've got a few spun up already that really show some different types of scenarios. We'll get into each one of these over the next few episodes. But let's start this one by simply creating a new gallery image virtual machine. So you see this big old new button down on the bottom left? I'm going to press that, and up we come. Virtual machines are part of compute. So notice that I'm on an individual virtual machine. I could do a quick create, but we're going to have a quick look there at the quick create. You're basically just grabbing a DNS name, what your image is, giving it a password. Remember that size that I talked about earlier? And where it's actually going to be located. But I'm going to go into a little bit more detail, and I'm going to select from gallery. And it pops me off to this other page, and we have platform images, and my disks. And you might notice that we have some implementations here. You have BizTalk Server, SQL Server, Windows Server 2008 R2, two different versions. One that was released out in August 2012 and July 2012. And we have Windows Server 2012, released August. Now notice down here, there's our Linux images. So even out of the gallery images, and these gallery images are templated, pre-set up images that are sys-prepped so that basically you go in, define, name, what the password is for the administrator, and then it spins up the VM. So what I'm going to do here is take Windows Server 2012 and select Next. Button down here. We'll give it a virtual machine name. Let's call it IT Radio. My user is going to be administrator, and I'll add in a password. All us trainers always use a variation of password itself, so it's easy to remember. And notice I now can go into the different sizes of the VM. So basically, you're going to be limited to 8 cores and 14 gigs of memory on these. And, you know, that is, of course, right now. And each one's going to have a different charge based upon what I showed you in that earlier slide. So let's go. We'll go almost all the way. We'll go to large, 4 cores, 7 gigs of memory. Let's go next. And we have two different options here. Standalone virtual machine and connect to existing virtual machine. And notice I actually have some virtual machines that are out there already. And the reason that I did have all of those is because I set up previous cloud services that we saw on the original portal. But what we're going to do is start out with a standalone virtual machine. When you start in a standalone virtual machine, it creates a cloud service and puts that virtual machine in as a VM, well, it's a, the old nomenclature was VMroll, but actually runs the individual cloud service. The idea with connect to an existing virtual machine is that you can put additional virtual machines into that same exact cloud service and then communicate directly between all of those individual machines. You can also do cool things like load balance them. And we can talk about that as we move along in our series here. So let's do a standalone virtual machine. I'll do my IT radio again, and let's see if anybody stole the name yet. No, I've got it. I don't think I'm ever going to take this machine down, because basically what we're doing now is saying, okay, itradio.cloudapp.net is the fully qualified domain name that is going to be pointing to this virtual machine. We could work a deal out, though, Blaine, if you want to buy the name back from me.
Yeah, I'd love that. I wish it was IT Time Radio, oh, but that's okay.
Thanks for letting me know.
Nice,
you should have kept that under your hat.
Nice one.
Okay, so this is actually going to take one of those templated VHDs, one of those VM images out there that have been sysprepped and waiting for me. Sysprep normalizes or equalizes the individual system so that it creates a new image each time. And then I can apply it to different storage accounts. So maybe I'll put it into my Azure O3 account. And where do you want to put this? Well, Azure O3 is put into the East region. If we go back here and say use automatically generated, here's where I could go. So one of the things that you're going to do when you deploy these VMs is actually deploy them to one of the data centers in Microsoft. And here's the data centers that you can use now. East USA, I believe it's in Quincy, Massachusetts. West USA, I believe it's in Oregon somewhere. And then across the different types of regions. And they even have some more data centers, but these are the ones that are supporting the VMs right now. You also can create affinity groups. I put the right coast, and basically the right coast points to East USA. And you know, the idea is that if you just want to say, okay, all these VMs go into the same affinity group, that means that they're going to end up in the same server complex, data center complex. So I'm going to go into the East USA. I'll go into, let's go into Azure O2. And there's the subscription that ties to Azure O2 storage account. So we're saying, okay, where do you want this VHD to live that fires off this VM? We'll go next. And we have one last option here. Create availability set. What you can do, there's actually two things, and one thing we haven't talked about yet is the service level agreement, or SLA. With the service level agreement, there's actually two levels related to Azure VMs. There's a 99%, and the 99% is within 2 minutes, we will recover the VHD if something happens. The 99.5% means that you are up 99.5% of the time each month. But to do that, you need to create an availability set. What this does is create multiple images so that you have a working and fault domain. And the fault domain actually lives on separate hardware. So think of it that they do backups and everything for you, but they're actually moving this specific VM and any VMs. Now, this is important because if you put these VMs into the same cloud surface or set up a network between them, you could be deploying a whole networked, Active Directory-driven type of an infrastructure and create availability sets that they go across. So think of clustering. This is your Azure VM type of clustering scenario, high availability scenario. Of course, you will be paying more by creating the availability sets because you're basically doubling up the individual VMs. So I've now gone through each one of my steps. I said, build this off of an existing image that's been sysprepped using Windows Server 2012. I gave it a name. I gave it a area to be assigned to or a actual data center to be deployed to. I defined the size of the virtual machine. And I said whether or not I wanted an availability set. So I'm ready. I'm going to press complete and out it goes. And you might notice IT Radio is now being deployed. And this will take about 5 to 10 minutes, which is why I have a few already deployed. Earlier, I did this same exact type of scenario with these two VMs up here, Azure O1, W2012-1, and -2. And I deployed them to the same cloud service. Surface is coming out end of October, right? Blaine, you going to be at Build?
No, probably not for that. I'll probably be working something for October GA for all that coming.
So while the IT radio or IT time radio is provisioning, notice it just stopped. It'll probably be restarting shortly. I'm going to go into one of these individual VMs that I already provisioned. And notice we go in and we have a dashboard. And this dashboard gives us all sorts of nice information related to it, where the VHD is actually being stored. And if we go across the bottom here, notice we have different options. One of them is connect. So let me press that connect. And what that does is say, hey, do you want to open up this .rdp file? So basically all it is downloading a remote desktop connection RDP file that you could then save out and be able to reinstance. Like when we do a classroom, we'll do 12 of these and then save them out as student 01, student 02. So basically the student just double clicks on these individual files. But what I'm going to do is open it. And if you've ever done remote desktop connections, you've seen this thing before. Unknown publisher, didn't file the certificate with a known authority. I'm going to say, don't ask me, just connect. And I set it up as administrator. So it's asking me for the password, which I could save. So I'll put in my password, which is just another way of saying password. And here it is, once again, certificate not from a trusted certifying authority. I'm going to say, I agree. Let's go in there. And we now have a remote desktop into Azure O1-2012.cloudapp.net. And we are in Windows Server 2012. So now let me go into the Start menu here. Go into Task Manager. And I believe I set this up as a single core with 1 3/4 gigs of memory, which is probably why it's running so slow. But we're full desktop. We now can start creating individual scenarios, start saving out information, bring this VM down, bring it back up, maintain what is going on inside of this virtual machine. Let me go back to the dashboard and notice that we have endpoints. And it just so happens, because I put these both into the same cloud service, I have these load balanced. So Azure O1W2012-1 and Azure O1W2012-2 are load balanced. So as entries are coming in to Azure O1W2012, it is being load balanced between the two. And I notice I put the public port as 80, so here'd be a scenario. I want to load balance my websites. Well, put up two VMs into the same cloud service, deploy your websites into these VMs, turn on load balancing, the same thing that you would be doing for load balancing at the private cloud infrastructure, you're now doing and implementing on the public cloud. So we kind of looked at availability sets and saw that as the clustering solution for your VMs. We're now looking at load balancing. So not only the high availability, but the throughput concerns are being addressed. And you're taking what you do in your private cloud, putting it up into your public cloud. If I go to one more, I could go, and since I have multiples, I could actually change this on the fly and create an availability set. If you only have one VM up in that cloud service, you're not going to be able to. So I can change this on the fly. Of course, it's going to bring it down. But since I'm load balanced, all the things that are going to go to port 80 are going to go to the other computer while this is being rebuilt. So some pretty cool capabilities. What we saw here was the capability to build a Azure VM from some of the built-in images inside of the gallery that comes as part of the service. We picked Server 2012, but there's Server 2008, SQL Server, there's even a BizTalk, and then you have several different Linux types of implementations. So in future ones, we're going to go further. We're going to see what we can do with virtual machines related to our own images and creating our own image gallery along with networking of all of these images.
So great demo, Joe, on building a VM for Windows Azure. If you want to check out Windows Azure and have your free subscription for 90 days, you can go to http://try/Azure, as you can see the URL on the screen here. With that, we have Joe Homnick doing a few more part series for us, so stay tuned for those. He is a regional director for our MVP program and also the principal owner of Homnick Systems in Fort Lauderdale, actually Boca to be exact. So thanks, Joe.
Hey, it was a pleasure. This was fun.
You bet, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Looking forward to it. Bye.
All right, and with that, thanks for joining IT Time Radio, TechNet Radio, and it's a wrap.